We've spent a great number of weeks now studying the Great Commission, and my heart, I hope you heard my heart is that over and over again that we have heard from God that His desire is that we would be people who would share the gospel with those around us. I think that was a pretty clear point. Someone once came up with this formula. They said if one person would share the gospel with another, they would disciple them, and that person would then do the same thing, that it would take about four cycles, if every Christian in the world, it would take about four cycles for the whole world to have heard who Jesus is. That's a great picture of what could be, but that's probably not what is happening within the world today. Within the world today, Christians just aren't sharing the gospel the way that God has called them to share the gospel. Our job as believers is to share the gospel. And when we think about the gospel not being shared, that should impact our hearts to remind us that we should be sharing the gospel. I've been thinking about what it means to share the gospel, what it means to be a church that does that, and I'm still wrestling with what that's all about. I'm starting to come to the conclusion of that being the church that God wants us to be might not mean that we need more programs. That might not be the end to getting to that point in which we're a church that shares the gospel. It's all about us being people who share the gospel. It's not programs, it's not more churches, it's just God's people sharing the gospel with those they come in contact with. I don't want to suggest this morning that each of us is called to be missionaries overseas. We've tried to impress upon you that we need more missionaries overseas by having a different missionary here every week. But that's not going to be the case for all of us. We're not going to go overseas to be missionaries. But I hope also that we've heard clearly that each of us in the own context that God has placed us can be a missionary, whether it's at play, whether it's at work, whether it's at school, in our neighborhoods, that each of us has a unique opportunity to share the gospel with those around us. We've been looking at the Great Commission every week. I guess before we go to John chapter 14, we'll read the Great Commission one more time from Matthew chapter 28, and we'll hear the words of this instruction given by Jesus to His church. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Every week as we've looked at the Great Commission, we've tried to draw out a different theme. First week we saw that we're authorized. Then we saw God's instruction is that we would be a people who goes into the world. Last week we saw that God tells us that when we go, we make disciples. This week we're landing on the last phrase. That last phrase, it reminds us that God is with us always. And if we think that we can go into this world and tell the gospel to those around us on our own strength, we're going to fail. We've got it wrong. But this last phrase that reminds us that God is with us, that is the source of our strength. I want to share with you three of the verses that kind of go along with the same theme that God is with us. First one, Matthew 19, verse 29. Hear the same idea here. "And everyone who has left house or houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life." Hear the theme there that God will provide. From Romans chapter 8, verse 28. "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purposes." God is working on our behalf. Share one more from Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. "And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Same idea. God provides. He provides for us even when we're being stretched for service, even when we're doing what He calls us to do. He still provides for us then. God's heart is to take care of us, and as God takes care of us, He also calls us to do what He's called us to do. John chapter 14, that's what we're going to look at today, verses 26 to 31. It mirrors the same idea that God is going to provide for us. At the end of the Great Commission, Jesus gives these words and He tells them that He's not going to be with them any longer, but that they shouldn't worry, that they should be assured that He is still there with them. We pick that theme up in John chapter 14, verses 26 to 31. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming, and he has no hold on me. But the world must learn that I love the Father, and that I do exactly what the Father has commanded me. Come, let us now leave. Those are Jesus' words, and those are the words that we're going to be looking at this morning. The book of John, it really has two halves to it. The first half of the book of John, it contains all the signs of Jesus' life, all the different miracles that he did to show to the world who he was. Second half of the book of John, it's really more intimate in its conversation between Jesus and the disciples. It's really about Jesus' walk to the cross. It's that second half of the book of John that we find ourselves in this morning. And in John chapter 13, we find perhaps one of the most intimate conversations that Jesus has with his followers. In John chapter 14, twice, Jesus tells his disciples that he's going to be leaving with them, but that they shouldn't be afraid, that they shouldn't worry, that he's still going to be there because his Spirit is going to be there. That promise of the Holy Spirit, that second promise is the one that we looked at this morning. This morning, as we look at this passage, which I've just tried to share with you just a little bit about, there's really three things that I hope that we catch that reinforce the idea that Jesus is telling us of the promise of the Holy Spirit and what that promised Holy Spirit is going to do in our lives. Here's the first detail that I hope that we hear this morning. It's that the Spirit is coming, and it's coming sent from the Father to continue the work that Jesus came to do. Second, I hope that we hear that the Spirit, its job is to point us to Jesus. Third, I hope that we hear that Jesus is the true promise of one who can bring us peace. If you have your Bibles, we'll keep them open to John chapter 14, and we'll look at those three ideas right now. First idea that affirms the promise of the Holy Spirit, the work that it's going to do, is that the Spirit is coming from the Father to work as Jesus did. We picked it up in verse 26. Verse 26 we read, we'll read it again. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I've said to you. I've kind of wondered what life would look like if now was the chosen time in which Jesus came to walk this earth rather than some 2,000 years ago. Would Jesus have paparazzi following him, trying to get him on the cover of every major news magazine? Would he travel by airplane? Would he have ads on the internet? Would he have billboards all over the place? You know what? We don't have to think about those things because God chose in his wisdom some 2,000 years ago for that to be the time in which Jesus walked this earth. Think about the disciples with me for a little bit. Jesus has just told them that he's going to be leaving them. What type of thoughts do you think were going through their minds? Here's the type of thoughts that I think were going through their minds. They had become really comfortable being in the presence of Jesus. They had seen that he was no ordinary man, that he wasn't even just a prophet. They had seen the miracles that he could do. They knew that he was once sent by God. And now Jesus comes to them and he tells them, hey, I'm going to be leaving. They've probably got some thoughts in their minds, some worries, some fears, some doubts about their own abilities. And they're wondering, what's life going to be like after Jesus has left? Try to connect that to this situation. Pretend you're at work and your boss comes to you and tells you, hey, Johnny, I'm leaving the plant. You're in charge of it. You're going to be running the place for the next month starting tomorrow. As you hear your boss tell you something like that, the thought goes in your mind, am I capable? Am I ready to do this? Am I really the one that should be doing this? I think that's kind of the thought that was going through the minds of these disciples as Jesus has told them that he's going to be leaving them. Now, for your boss, if you go back to that scenario, for your boss to leave you just a manual, to just tell you, hey, good luck, that won't do it. You need more than that. For these disciples, they got more than that. They didn't have just Jesus telling them, hey, good luck. Jesus tells them, I will be with you, that the Spirit would come and would do a work in their life and would guide them and would lead them. These disciples, they get an incredible encouragement from Jesus when he tells them that the Spirit would be with them. In that promise, Spirit, We learn that the Spirit will teach us all things, and that the Spirit will remind us of what Jesus has said. That's so much better than having your boss saying, good luck, here's the instructions. That is your boss still with you, even when your boss isn't even there. And as we think about the Great Commission that God has called us to be in mission towards, that should be a detail that we rest in as well. That when we go and tell others who Jesus is, that we know that it's the same Spirit who's working through us to provide us with the words to say. Verse 27 of this same chapter, Jesus says this. He says, peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. For us, as we go telling others about Jesus, let's go with a sense of peace, with a sense of calm that can only come from Jesus. Talk about the second detail that affirms this promise that Jesus gives us here. Second half of verse 26 says this about the work of the Spirit. It says, it will teach you all things, and it will remind you of everything that I have said to you. Here's how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit works not to draw attention to itself, but to draw attention to Jesus. Very much in a way like, don't look at me, look at Jesus. The Holy Spirit's work is to bring conviction. And in that work of conviction, its job is really to prepare us for the work that Jesus has set aside for us. You can hear that idea. Two chapters later, John 16, 7, 8, here's these words. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt. It's the same theme again. It's the Spirit's job to point us to Jesus. I'll give you another passage which affirms this idea as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 to 13. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given to us. What I hope that we catch as we hear those words is this, that the Spirit works in tune with the thoughts of the Father. And that same Spirit wants to get us in tune with the thoughts of the Father as well. That should remind us again that the Spirit works to point us to the Father and to point us to Jesus. Here's a third detail that I think affirms this promise that Jesus has given to us. Verse 27, Jesus promises his peace. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. This morning as we look in this chapter, I want to pass on to you three verses from this chapter in which Jesus makes five statements. And each of these five statements, they affirm the fact that he's leaving them physically. And even still that he's leaving them, that these disciples should have peace. Here's the first statement. Jesus says, I do not give to you as the world gives to you. I do not give you as the world gives. The peace of God, think about the peace of God. The peace of God blows away all the peace that we find in this world. This world seems like constantly filled with different wars and conflicts. Occasionally, a war, a conflict, peace treaty happens and peace is achieved. When we look back over history, though, we look at those peace treaties, we find that none of them truly lasts. The peace of God, that is a peace of God. That is a promise that will last for eternity. Here's the second phrase that Jesus gives that goes back to this point. Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Any one of us after church could go up to another one of us and could give a word of encouragement. That'd be good. That'd be a good thing to do. But none can make the sort of guarantee that Jesus does. Jesus, he gives a perfect guarantee. When he says peace can be had, peace can really be had. Here's a third detail I want to point out. Verse 28, Jesus tells the disciples this. He says, you heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. Talk about the fact that these disciples would have been worried over Jesus leaving them. But Jesus, as he's leaving them, he doesn't just tell them, I'm leaving, goodbye. He says, I'll be back. And in that promise, these disciples could again find some peace. Verse 28, this is our fourth point to this end. A little while ago, we read from verse 28. In it, Jesus says, if you love me, you'd be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Different scholars, as they read this verse, they debate a certain aspect of this verse. They debate if this verse undermines the Trinity. That's not our focus this morning, though. What I want to have us catch in this verse is this, is that Jesus, as he's telling the disciples what he's going to be doing, he's affirming the will of the Father, and he's saying that he's working in cooperation with the Father's will. That would be something that would have brought these disciples peace as well. Here's the last statement that I want to point out. It's found in verse 29. Jesus, in verse 29, he's letting the disciples know that these events that are going to occur in his life, that these events are not a surprise to him. That would be something that would bring him peace as well. Jesus says, I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. God has given us everything that we need for this life. God has given us also a promise as we go with this call to share the gospel with those around the world. We hear that his presence is going to be with us as we live this life. We hear that again in the Great Commission. In the Great Commission, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. I thought about that promise. I thought about something that occurred to my mind. Every now and then I have a cynical thought that appears in my mind, and my cynical thought was this. I was thinking about funerals. I was thinking about the words that we give to others when we go to a funeral to support them, to encourage them. We go to funerals, and when someone's grieving, we might say to them, you know, may the peace of God come to you. We might encourage them and tell them that God is always on their side. We might encourage them and tell them even something like what we find in the Great Commission. God is with them always. The cynical thought that I had was this. What type of thoughts appear in our minds when we get an opportunity to share the gospel with someone else? Does this same thought that encourages the one who's mourning, does that same thought encourage us as we are given an opportunity to share the gospel? When someone's there in front of us, do we have a peace about us that God is still with us? That's my hope that we do. I hope that we hear that in the Great Commission this morning. When I began sharing this morning, I gave you that formula that if one person would share the gospel and another person would share the gospel, that after four cycles, if every Christian was sharing the gospel, the world would have heard who Jesus is. That's not what's going on, though. And as we wait for people to have heard who Jesus is, that cycle becomes more of a cycle of 8, 10, 12, 15 cycles that it will have taken for the world to have heard who Jesus is. And the thing that's messed up about that picture is this, that it could have been four cycles, but instead it's 10, 12, 15. And in the meantime, many, many people will have lived, will have died, not have heard who Jesus is. That should motivate us to be people who want to share the gospel with others, because we know that people's lives are at stake. I think you're all aware that I've been trying to collect a survey for the last month, and today is the last day of me collecting that survey, but I've been trying to collect a survey, get feedback from you of why you love this church. Got about 25 or 30 answers back from that survey so far, and they're a lot of fun to read. One person circled every answer that was on the sheet. I thought that was great. The rest of you circled one, two, three, four different items of why you love this church. With the exception of that one person who circled all of them, all of you, the rest of you that did the survey, skipped one of the answers. It wasn't one of the reasons why you said you love this church. That answer was this. When I asked the statement, why do you love this church? No one said, I love this church because this is where I found Jesus, with the exception of that one person. I thought about that, and I thought, does that mean that no one's found Jesus in our church? I'd say no, that's not the case. But I think that should speak to us and encourage us that we need to be more of a church that tells people about who Jesus is, and that we have an opportunity before us, hundreds of people in our community who don't know Jesus, who could, through our words. I hope and pray that more and more of us become that church that tells others about who Jesus is. Give you another quick story here. I know you know that I'm on Facebook, and I don't like actually talking about Facebook at church too much, but on Tuesday I asked a question on Facebook, and pretty quickly I got a number of answers. I asked a question on Tuesday. I said, for any of my friends that are out there that don't go to church, tell me why you don't go to church. Within 2 hours I had 8 answers from folks of why they don't go to church. I've been writing back and forth with about 5 of them this week, and they've been sharing with me why they don't go to church. I want to share with you some of their answers of why they don't go to church. One person, it was simply that their work schedule didn't permit for them to go to church. One, my cousin in Norway, he told me he doesn't go to church because he doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. Another, they said they haven't found a church that has cared for them. Another, and this is in quotes, so in quotes, they said church people tend to judge them and to not understand them. Another one of my friends that I grew up with when I was a kid, he said, I was forced to go to church when I was a kid, and now that I'm an adult, I don't want to be forced to have to go to church. As I read those answers and thought about all their answers, it became clear that some of them, as we've talked back and forth this week, some of them do know Jesus Christ. Many of them don't. Many of them have chosen not to know Jesus Christ. And my heart for them, as I think about them, is that they would, well, I guess I really would love them to get plugged into a church. But most importantly, I'd love to find and hear that they've gotten plugged into Jesus Christ. Most of these friends and family that have told me that they have no interest in the church, just in the church alone, the reason seems to come back that they've been hurt, that they've looked at the church and seen it preach one message but not live one message, different things like that. The thing that I want to connect for us is this, is that this challenge of people hearing who Jesus is, it's our challenge, it's all of our challenge, and we need to own that. My prayer for us is that we would be a church that would reach out and share the gospel with those around us. My human heart, my human mind wants to say this. I don't know if this is right to say, so I'll say this is my heart, my mind, not preaching it from God's word, but my heart wants to say that if we can't love people and be so concerned about people's souls the way that God is, if we can't, then we might not really understand what it means to be loved by God. My heart wants to say that. I don't know if God's word says that, but my heart wants to say that. And as I think about that, I do want to ask you, do you care about people so much that you are so concerned for their souls? John chapter 15, verse 13, just one chapter after what we're looking at this morning, says, greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friend. That is the picture of a friend caring for another, being so willing to look out for them that they would lay down their life for the sake of their friends. That's the picture that God has for us, that we would lay down our lives for our friends. So let's think about that. Let's think about our family, our friends, our neighbors, those that we lay down our lives for, telling them about Jesus Christ. This morning I want to throw out three statements for you to think about, and I believe these are true statements. First one is this. It's to hear that the mission of Jesus, that largely on each one of us. Second, it's to hear that the fate of many souls in this world, it too largely depends on all of us. And third, that the fate of this church, it too largely depends upon all of us. As I think about those statements for myself, there's a part of that for me that makes me feel guilty. And I'm kind of hoping that all of us, that's those statements, they kind of grip us and kind of poke a little bit at our hearts, kind of make us think about who it. More importantly than just that poking, I hope we hear the other half, where Jesus says in the Great Commission that He is with us always. Because if we're ever worried, if we're ever scared about sharing the gospel with us, we just need to remember that Jesus is there with us. This morning, my heart is also that if there's anyone here that doesn't know this Jesus that we're describing, who loves us unconditionally, who will stand by our side, my heart is that you would talk to someone here who does. Ask them to pray. And for those of us who do know this Jesus, who will stick by our side through thick and thin, my heart is that we would be people who would tell others about that Jesus. I want to leave one challenge with you this morning. I don't want to challenge you to bring someone to church next week. I simply want to challenge you to this, to invite someone to church next week, to invite them to Friday night to our bonfire. Invite them. That's our job, is to be people who give the invitation, and it's their job to decide what to do with that invitation. Let's be people who invite people.